And I think that's what happens is kids who understand this, they stand out in the best ways. And it's just this positive feedback loop.
Welcome to The Lisa Show, where we take a good look at life. Hey, have you noticed that thing where you try to compliment your older kids and they roll their eyes? And you're being sincere, like, hey, I'm really proud of you. That's a great haircut. You're so talented. And they start to squirm like, mom, stop, you're just saying that. Or you have to say that, you're my mom. And they don't believe you. I am not a fan. I preferred it when all I had to do was say, wow, you're so fast, to see my three-year-old take off running because they knew I was right. Confidence is a tough thing, and it gets harder to instill in kids as they get older and more immune to their parents' opinions of them. And unfortunately, most kids also experience a huge drop in their self-confidence right at the stage where they stop taking you seriously because, well, actually, I only have one theory about this. I think something changes in the brain when a kid realizes that they're taller than their parents. It triggers a psychological instinct which says, you've outgrown them physically and therefore mentally and emotionally as well. I'm not a psychologist. Don't quote me. I really can't back it up. But if you have kids, especially teenagers, you know what I'm talking about. This is hard. And so I brought in my friend, Brooke Romney, because she has more practical tips for empowering kids to be confident than really basically anyone I know. She's written books and most recently created a tabletop game that helps you get to know each other. It's amazing. And overall, she knows how to give kids the social skills and mindsets that build lasting confidence. She also gets it.
I have four boys, and boys are a little less interested in having, let's just sit and chat.
You are taking me back to so many dinners where I'm just like, hey guys, like what's going on?
Fine. Hello,
fine.
Nothing.
What? But... like, what's wrong? Why do you keep talking to me? Like,
are you? This is what dinner is.
Yeah. Like, we're having conversations. Are you trying to pull out like a table talk card? And they're like, why would you ask me that?
Yes, exactly. They're always like, you've got a hidden motive, mom.
Totally.
I'm like, no, I just want to get to know you guys. Why are you making this so weird?
It's so true. And so I decided that I wanted to figure out a way where we could have conversation, get to know each other, give them chances to know themselves,
yeah.
Right?
Oh, that's a big part,
like,
too.
Like, a big part, sometimes if you're not ever self-reflecting or even thinking about, like, how do I feel about someone giving me feedback?
This is a learned skill that we assume comes naturally to everyone, and it doesn't.
It really doesn't. I think, for me, it's about liking yourself and knowing who you are. A lot of that starts with, for one, being okay with both your good things and your flaws, the things you struggle with.
Yeah.
And not taking yourself so seriously and being willing to say, like, I'm not good at that right now, but I might get better at it. Instead of taking yourself so seriously all the time, yeah. Must be perfect in all areas of life, and just being really able to embrace the person that you are right now and also giving yourself a lot of grace and excitement for, like, who you will become and who you might become.
I mean, this is the question, right? I love that definition. So how do I give that to my kids? How do I teach them that confidence? Because in my experience in talking to a lot of parents, we're struggling with that. We're like, how does this kid not know how great they are? How do you answer that? How do we teach our kids that to have that kind of confidence?
I think one of the worst things about confidence is it has to come from within.
I know. Can't I just give it to them?
I remember, you know, with younger kids thinking if I said enough nice things to them,
yes,
then they would feel great about themselves. And while I will not discount the fact that pouring into your kids positive things and good things is so wonderful, and I think the way to do that is to give them opportunities to get through something hard, to grow, to feel capable, to feel good at something. That's really how we got our confidence. The ability to fail and not take it so personally.
The ability to fail and not take it personally, that is a skill for kids. And that keyword, failure, that can be as hard for parents as it is for kids, maybe even harder.
Today, a lot of parents with really, really wonderful intentions mm-hmm. have really tried to to insulate their kids' lives so that nobody ever says anything rude to them. Nobody ever does anything mean, mm-hmm. hard. They never are a part of a team where they're not a star. If that's not working out, we find a new team. You know, when a lot of confidence is built through them proving to themselves that they are good enough, that they are worthy. One of the things that I really have noticed, and I will say I'm on my fourth child and I've learned a lot,
yeah.
and I've done a lot of things just basically out of fear of them ever feeling sad or hurt in the beginning to being less fearful myself.
I think a lot of us can relate to that.
And just being able to say when something is hard or when something goes bad, instead of trying to fix that situation, saying that is super hard. That is so frustrating. I know that you can figure out a solution. I know that you can get through that, you know? And I think our kids need more of us sharing confidence like that. Mm. Like, you are capable, you are strong, you are so smart, you are really good at finding solutions. And if you want help, I'm here. As opposed to, well, let me tell you what you need to do. I talked to a high school teacher and she said that she had a mom that came in and she just, her daughter had gotten, was supposed to get a B in the class. Mm-hmm. And she was just like, you don't understand. She can't get a B. She's really fragile right now. She has all A's. She cannot get a B. Can you just please change her grade? And she just looked at the mom and said, I understand, like, this is tough. This is the grade she earned. And I actually think it will be more harmful for her to think that unless she gets an A, she's not going to be okay. She earned this grade and this is what it is. I think a better thing you could tell her is, it looks like you got a B. And what do you want to do next time? You yeah. want to work harder next time? Or are you okay with a B? She said that she gets so many parents coming in and talking to her about what their kids need without ever having a conversation with the student. And she's like, this is high school. She could walk in and say like, hey, I don't want to get a B. I've got this perfect GPA. What could I do? Or how could I study? Or before the final, what do I need to know? She said, that teaches our kids that they're capable and that gives them confidence.
Oh, yeah. I'm thinking of examples from college professor friends of mine who've had parents call and they say, oh, I'm actually not legally able to talk to you about their information because they're adults. Yeah. You know, that kind of transition from adolescence to adulthood is hard for parents
yeah.
to accept.
It is. And, you know, and I think we can start very, very young with teaching our kids how to advocate for themselves. And I don't want to say it's just like throw your kids to the wolves. There is so much wonderful preparation that you can do. Yeah. So if a kid wants to go talk to a teacher and they're nervous, role play. Okay, like, I'm the teacher, what would you say? And they might say, I don't know. And say, well, here are some options. I think a lot of times in our society, we think you either do everything or you do nothing.
Right. We're so black and white in our thinking.
And really in between there is a really beautiful balance of scaffolding, of understanding who your kid is, what they might need, where they're like a not quite as good, where mm-hmm. they might need some help, mm-hmm. might need some practice, might need some suggestion, and that's totally great. But then yeah. also letting them go.
Yes.
And give it a try. And it might go well and it might not. And letting them know they're okay either way.
Helping kids accept their own consequences starts with parents accepting those consequences as well. And it can be hard, but it pays off in real skills that kids will take with them even when they leave your house. Now, we'd like to think that the only failures and heartbreak that our kids will have to deal with is bad grades on papers. Unfortunately, disappointments are going to happen in every corner of their world, including their relationships. And as uncomfortable as it is to hear, Brooke says the same advice applies. We have to let our kids experience hard things, and that also means hard feelings. This one can really dig at the parental urge to protect your kids. Helping our kids navigate social disappointment is really about helping them interpret and process uncomfortable or painful social experiences that they have so that they can be more resilient.
One of the things that I've really tried to work on with some of my teens who feel deeper
mm-hmm.
is yeah. to help them understand, put yourself in those shoes. You don't get invited to something. So There are times when you've said no. Why did you say no?
Right.
You had something else to do. You weren't feeling like you wanted to hang out, whatever it was. My favorite thing to say is like, how many people did they invite? Four. Are they in your top four? Probably not. Okay, cool. Would you like for them to be in your top four? Kinda. Let's spend more time with them. Let's invite them to things. You know, realizing that very many things in our life are not as personal as we think they are.
Yeah. Oh, that's such an important skill. Mm-hmm. I wish I could transport that from my brain into each of my kids' brains too, because it feels so personal.
I've talked to a lot of moms where a lot of things feel personal.
Yeah, you're right. Even I'm talking about myself. I really am. No, it does.
And I think
everyone's literally hanging out but me.
Right.
Yeah. Literally all my friends were and they posted about it. And why wasn't I invited?
Totally.
I know.
Not because you don't ski.
Yeah.
Not because you're not a skier.
Not because you don't live there.
Not because you live in a different state, but they thought, how could we exclude Lisa on this girl's trip? Yeah, whatever it is.
It's so true.
But even like I've noticed, especially as kids get older, even moms feeling that way about their kids.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
Oh, they're trying to hurt my feelings. They don't want to connect. They don't care, mm-hmm. You know? And it's like, nope. Almost never. Almost never is it about you. Almost always it's about them.
I will say that I've been following your social account for a long time. Long time listener, first time caller. That note that you play on that is one of my favorites. You just call it out. And most people don't do that. You're like, it's not personal. I know what you're thinking. And guess what? No, it's not about you. They're not worried about you. They're just worried about themselves. And I just love it because it shouldn't feel so groundbreaking, but it is.
Yeah.
And we can all benefit from that.
I think so. I think I'm a better mom. I'm a better friend. I'm a better neighbor. I'm a better spouse. All of the things when I'm not so focused on it being about me.
Oh, well said. You know? Okay, so I wanted to ask you about this idea of being self-aware about that, right? Mm-hmm. What do you think sort of breeds this kind of self-awareness? You don't want to be self-absorbed, but you right. do want to be self-aware. So how do you judge that as you're doing that and give cues to other people?
So with my kids, I think really like looking outside yourself is just so key. I remember, this is like slightly embarrassing, but I remember the first time when I was like, oh, people feel differently than I do.
Huh, that's weird. Different worldview.
People prioritize different things than I do. People have different values than I do. I have an example. So talking to some teens, they were talking about how one of their friends is just like not loyal. Mm-hmm. They're always like jumping from different group to different group. And they were just very frustrated by it. I just said, have you ever thought that maybe variety is more important to them? Like is really, really important to them. They just love variety.
Yeah, as a core value.
It's not that they don't like you.
Yeah, it's not
or that
personal.
They don't love the friends, mm-hmm. but they love variety. And they were like, but they're not being loyal. I was like, are they not? Like, are they being a mean friend? Are they unkind? Do they talk badly about you? Are they putting you down in front of other people? Or are they just looking for some variety?
Yeah.
And they were like, oh, well, I don't know. And I think questions can be very helpful in self-reflection.
Parents, we lay the groundwork for our kids when it comes to social resilience. If we can model giving others the benefit of the doubt and not making everything personal, that's a powerful pattern for our kids to follow. And it might mean some creative thinking, but it's such an important exercise. Finding empathy for people who rub you the wrong way so that you can appreciate differences instead of feeling like you either have to be everyone's cup of tea or that you're being attacked when you don't naturally connect with every person. This is good stuff. And our kids' confidence when they can do that, huge. And on a similar note, Brooke mentioned something to me that she tells her kids to this point that I absolutely adore.
I think in a world that has a lot of opportunities for us to compare and to see something that looks ideal or seems ideal, as parents, being able to give our kids the confidence to say, this is who I am. And I like really like it. And for me, a lot of that comes from God loves variety. And he intentionally made us to look and think and act and do different because that makes a really beautiful whole.
When you believe that God loves variety, you worry less about having to live up to one standard or having to fit into one group. You believe that other people have real and different feelings and that it's okay, and that there's a place for you if you can't always relate or don't feel comfortable in every situation. That's not personal. Yes, letting our kids go through hard stuff will help their confidence. But there are actually some very easy things that can build our kids' self-esteem, and it starts with teaching them manners. Brooke pointed out that there are a few social habits which can make all of the difference because of the way they affect how the world treats you.
I think when you know how to act in individual situations and you feel confident about that, you have so much more confidence. You can walk into a room that maybe there's like an unknown, maybe it's new people. But if you know how to introduce yourself, walking into a room is not nearly as hard as it is when you're like, I actually don't know what to do about this. When you know that you don't leave one person out, you don't kick people off a group text, then when that situation comes up, you already know what the right thing is. It doesn't feel nearly as difficult. When you know that you're going to go, if you're at an event and people start cleaning up, that you're someone who pitches in, like you also start putting away chairs and taking dishes into the kitchen, you're someone that other people look to and you're like, I would like that person around. Like when you're a great house guest and your friend's mom is like, he is welcome anytime. Mm-hmm. He was so nice to the younger kids. He was so respectful. He didn't take food all over the house. He respected privacy and didn't go into my bedroom, you know, things like that. And like, oh my gosh, yes, he can come anytime. We're so happy to have him. All of a sudden, that kid's the kid who's welcome anytime. And it's because he knows how to act in social situations. And it makes a huge difference as opposed to the kid who's like your friend, because teenagers do things like this. Mm-hmm. Yeah, my mom said you're like not very nice at our house, so you can't come again.
Yeah.
Which is another manner we can work on. But just knowing how to act.
You know that kid.
Makes, right? Some of us have kids that need work sometimes, you know?
Yeah, it's okay.
But I think it makes a big difference in who they are internally.
Yeah, and it makes that feedback from other people, other adults in their lives other than their parents mean more to them. Like, oh, you are a pleasure to have over, or you are delightful. It was so nice to meet you. That kind of feedback and praise from other adults, whether it's expected or unexpected, adds to that confidence.
It really does. I have a kind of a cute story from one of my boys. So a couple of the manners talk about acknowledging adults,
yep.
Right? And so you don't walk into somebody's house and pretend like the adult isn't there. You have a short conversation, you introduce yourself. And anyway, so he had taken this girl on a date and of course went up to the door and her parents were there. And he's like, I just had a quick conversation with them, you know, and they left. He took her out. He had a lot of fun. And she called him later and she was like, oh my gosh, my parents love you. Like they love you. And he turned to me and he's like, Mom, the bar is low.
Like I had a 2-minute conversation.
That's
and that
all
was
did.
Just
looked them in the
amazing.
Eye, shook their hand,
yeah.
Said who he was, asked them a few questions, because one of the manners is like, start a conversation. And he just said, the bar is really low. And I think that's what happens is kids who understand this, they stand out in the best ways. Mm-hmm. And it's just this positive feedback loop.
Teaching and practicing with kids, even skills as simple as how to introduce yourself and how to make basic conversation with adults, can create a positive feedback loop, which boosts their confidence and increases their readiness for the outside world. And Brooke had some suggestions for how to work on this together and why it's so important.
Well, right now there's a bunch of studies that are talking about how young adults are going into the workforce, and it's not that they don't have the educational skills or technical skills they need. But they are losing jobs and losing out because they literally don't know how to have a conversation, or they are wearing inappropriate things to work, or they're saying things that are offensive because they just haven't really thought about it. And I think some of these skills are just so important, like you said, not just for being little, but for the rest of your
life. Just translating. I love it. Are there any communication skills that you have identified that really pack the biggest punch for connection and confidence?
So there's two that I would love to share. The first one is super easy. It's just being able to go back and forth in a conversation.
Oh, yeah.
So we like to say, just throw the ball back. So somebody asks you a question, you answer, and then you ask the question back. As an adult, I cannot believe how many people still do not understand this skill. I've been in rooms, at parties, all the things where I have literally asked every single question I could even think of.
Yep.
And then it just dies because I've forgotten any more questions. And so that person has just shared so many things without ever returning the question. So that one is such an easy skill for parents to help their kids understand. Pass the ball back. Answer, pass it back.
It is such a hard thing for adults to learn. I will say, as a mature woman in a dating world, being absolutely shocked about how few people know how to do that.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I can do this all day. Occupational hazard. I'm an interviewer. I think, oh, wow, I've been talking to this person for how long? And not one question.
Not one.
From them.
Yeah.
Not one.
They don't even know if I have children. Like
they don't know anything about me.
There was not one question.
They don't know anything about me. Yeah.
Well, and I think it also shows how many people are so excited to talk about themselves, which is great.
Which is great. Which is what you want.
I mean, and how great is that? That like all it takes is a couple of questions for someone. So I think remembering that everyone would love to share a little bit about them. So that's the first thing that I think is so easy and a pattern we can really help our kids understand. The second thing is a little trick that I feel like has really helped me and helped my kids, and it is in one of the manners books, but it's to make an observation and then ask a question if you don't know what to say. So I think there's a lot of kids, a lot of teens, a lot of adults who literally like, I would love to start a conversation. I don't know how.
Yeah.
And so it's like, make an observation, ask a question. So for instance, I love your outfit. It is so cute. Where did you get it? Observation, question. For teens, something like, oh, I see you're wearing a Utah Jazz hat. Are you a basketball fan? Getting into this habit can really help them open a door. Like when I came here and I'm doing an interview with you, I know we're going to have a conversation. But if you're sitting next to somebody that you don't know, or if you've been in class for a while with someone, or if you're at a new event or at a party and you don't know who anyone is, it makes it really, really easy for a conversation to be started.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I love that. I love talking to people. I talk to strangers and stuff. And it is interesting that some of my kids or some people will be like, don't do that. People don't want to talk to you. And I'm like, some people don't. Some people are dying to. Like,
you know. Well, and well done on your confidence, because that's like the perfect example of who I want my kids to be at some point. I know teenagers are different, but I would love for them to be like, yeah, some people might not, but some people do.
I just remember being at like Disneyland with my dad as a 12-year-old and being like, oh my gosh, he talks to everybody. Like, what? Like, stop it. And he speaks several languages, and so he would speak to them in their language. And the kids, we would just roll our eyes. I am that adult. So I don't know what happened between 12 and adult, but I'll be standing in the grocery store line and be like, peaches, right? Love peach season. It's amazing, right? And my kids look at me like, what are you doing? And I'm like, I'm entertaining myself. We're entertaining each other. When you're out in the wild, I just want to meet people and talk and have interest instead of being insular. Not everyone is like that. Man, I get it. My kids have driven this point home. I understand. Because I think that at different times in my life that I wasn't like that. Accounting for different sort of personality tests, how do you adjust that to the critic who will say, I've one child in particular who's the voice in my head that's like, stop doing that. People don't want you to make an observation and ask a question. What is your rebuttal?
So for me, I would say I would rather throw a connection crumb out and see if they take it. And if they're not interested, I'm totally happy to end the conversation. So if somebody's like, if you say peach season, right? And somebody's like, yeah. You have enough social awareness to know that this is not a conversation that's going to continue. You can go to the person in front of you and say, yeah. Peach season.
And I have a master's degree in awkward interactions.
Right. But if you're being honest, percentage-wise, of all the people that you've started a conversation with, what is the percentage of someone that is like, you can tell, please do not talk to me?
I mean, I would say 10%.
Yeah.
10%, I would say, and I can read it.
Yeah.
Oh, you're in your zone or you don't want it, that's okay. Mm-hmm. And I'm not offended by things like that.
It's great, because that other 90% was probably really hopeful to have a connection moment. And I think that's one of the hardest things about the society we live in, is people are starving for a connection, but people aren't willing to be the person that creates it.
Yeah.
And so yay for every Lisa Valentine Clark out there.
No, I'm not saying that.
And you know, but really, I think connection is really powerful. And yeah. I also think the more we do it, the better we get.
Society doesn't encourage us to connect. If anything, we've found ways to avoid having to actually talk face to face. I see you, Zoom. But we still need connection, not because everyone has to be an extrovert, and not because every situation needs a conversation or every conversation has to be fun, but because it's essential for life in our society. And it's essential for our kids. And that's why we need to teach them how to initiate conversations. And at the very least, if you have the skill, then you can rise to the occasion when it's needed. I love this advice from Brooke Romney for helping teach our kids skills that give them confidence. A lot of that has to do with getting out of the way and letting them fail. Some of it is teaching them good manners and how to use them. Some of it is role-playing what you think are basic conversations so that they can practice social interactions. And sometimes it's helping them trust, as the hormones rage and tell them otherwise, that everyone's going through it and there is good in the people around them, even if they don't invite you on that ski trip.
The Lisa Show is a production of BYU Radio, hosted by Lisa Valentine Clark. This episode was produced by Becca Hurley-Long, with help from Erica Price, Blake Morse, and Kenny Mears, with post-production by Gracie Davis. For more information about Brooke Romney's Modern Manners collection or her other products, visit brookromney.com. A link to her website will be in the show notes. And be sure to check out the new Proofread podcast, a podcast helping you read more of what you love and less of what you don't. Find it wherever you get your podcasts. As always, thanks for your messages. We read them all, and thanks for listening.
I've got another podcast to recommend to you from the BYU Radio family of podcasts. It's called The Appleseed, and it's a show filled with stories for you and your family. Each episode features master storytellers sharing all kinds of stories, folk tales, fairy tales, personal and family tales. It's perfect for road trips, bedtime, or really any time that you're looking for something that the whole family can enjoy together. And the stories you'll hear, no doubt, we'll get your family sharing their own stories with each other. Listen to The Appleseed wherever you get your podcasts.